Well, praise the Lord. So good to be in his house today. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Nehemiah chapter 12. The time had come, the day had come for the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem. It was to be a day of gathering, a day of celebration, a day to dedicate with gladness, both with thanksgivings and singing, with cymbals and stringed instruments and harps. And so they sought out the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, with thanksgivings. The sons of the singers gathered together from the countryside, from the countryside around Jerusalem, from the villages, from the house of Gilgal, and from the fields. And the Bible says that the priests and the Levites purified themselves and purified the people, the gates, and the wall. What now, Nehemiah? Nehemiah 12, verse 31. So I brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall and appointed two large thanksgiving choirs. Two large thanksgiving choirs. Two thanksgiving companies. One to go to the right hand on the wall toward the refuse gate. And there they went. And there were those that went after them. Some with trumpets, and those with the musical instruments of David, the man of God. And Ezra, the scribe, went before them by the fountain gate. In front of them, they went up the stairs of the city of David, on the stairway of the wall beyond the house of David, as far as the water gate. As far as the water gate eastward. What a day. One went to the right hand on the wall, verses 38 to 39. The other thanksgiving choir went the opposite way, and I was behind them with half of the people on the wall, going past the Tower of Ovens as far as the broad wall and above the gate of Ephraim, above the old gate, above the fish gate and the Tower of Hananel, the Tower of the Hundred as far as the sheep gate, and they stopped by the gate of the prison. And now, to this they've come. Verses 40 to 42 record, so the thanksgiving choirs, they stood in the house of God. Likewise I, and the half of the rulers with me, and the priests with trumpets, also others, the singers sang loudly, the Bible records, with the director. Verse 43, also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. The Message paraphrase, that day they offered great sacrifices, an exuberant celebration, because God had filled them with great joy. The women and the children raised their happy voices with all the rest. Jerusalem's jubilation was heard far and wide. And the NIV reads, and on that day they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced. The sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. Happy Thanksgiving, indeed. You know, the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of Jehovah is strength and protection. The Voice Bible, let the Eternal's own joy be your protection. And it's true. The New Century Version, the joy of the Lord will make you strong. So true. Need a stronghold today? The Holman Christian Standard Bible, the joy of the Lord is your stronghold. Got joy? Got joy in the Lord? God's Word Translation, the joy you have in the Lord is your strength. This is what's being said. A place or means of safety, protection, refuge, fastness, harbor, stronghold, a strong fortified place, a defense, a fortress. If one was offered strength, would they not take it? If joy was an answer, if joy was the answer, if joy of the Lord and in the Lord was the answer, we're talking about the Lord here. Joy in the Lord and His joy, a joy not of this world, a joy beyond the human level, and yet, my, how it impacts the world, our world, and life, and living. Church, people, and all people, the joy of the Lord is invincible. Unbeatable, unconquerable, invulnerable, unshakable, indomitable, impregnable, unassailable, insuperable, indestructible, supreme, because we know and have this assurance. 2 Samuel 22:33, God is my strength and power, and He makes my way perfect. He arms me with strength. He sustains me with strength. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 28:8, the Lord is their strength, the strength of His people. And He is the saving refuge of His anointed. Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And He knows those who trust in Him. I read these words. Joy, which was the small publicity of the pagan, is the gigantic secret of the Christian. The gigantic secret, but not a secret to be kept. The gigantic secret of the Christian. If I believe and know that the joy of the Lord, joy in the Lord, is pure strength, and is to me strength, it only makes sense that I would joy in the Lord. Habakkuk 3:18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Isaiah 55:12, for you shall go out with joy. God, let us go out of this place with joy today. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. John 15:11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Joy in His word and in His commands, in all that He has spoken to us. This too is joy of the Lord and joy in the Lord. Psalm 4:7, you have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. Some have found too much joy in other places. This joy is not strength. It may produce sensation and feeling, but in and of itself, it is not strength, at least not the strength that we are talking about. Joy, but too much, an unhealthy level unhealthy dosage, beyond what the Lord would sanction, beyond what the Lord would command, beyond what pleases the Lord. And the Lord cautions us because these other joys are beatable, conquerable, vulnerable, shakable, dominable, pregnable, assailable, superable, destructible, breakable, takeable, infectable, effectable, not supreme, and so too, can you hear? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. What if the other place or places we have found joy shut down, closed down? What if the other place or places we have found joy ran dry? What if the other things or people or whatever it might be in which we find joy, found joy, took joy, had joy, and were no longer? Would we then be made weak? And beyond the weakness, would there then be unhappiness, despair, even grief, misery, and sorrow? Joylessness? You see, the joy of the Lord is strength, and joy in the Lord is strength and can withstand anything and anyone. No matter the place, no matter the environment, no matter the season, the forces, the tenor of days, if we have joy of the Lord, we have strength. These incredible words. I didn't suffer for Jesus in prison. No, I was with Jesus. And I experienced his very real presence, joy and peace every day. It's not those in prison for the sake of the gospel who suffer. The person who suffers is he who never experiences God's intimate presence. And these illustrious confessors of Jesus Christ, a Christian finds in prison the same joys as the prophets tasted in the desert. Call it not a dungeon, but a solitude. When the soul is in heaven, the body feels not the weight of fetters. It carries the whole man along with it. Yeah. Extreme. Extreme, yes. But it shows the power of this joy. And recall Paul and Silas, Acts 16, 25 to 26. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. You know, I wonder the outcome if these men would have done different. But no, these men knew that the joy of the Lord was their strength. There's no joy of the Lord without Jesus. Yes, Nehemiah spoke and wrote from the other side looking forward, but here we stand on the other side of the completed work of the cross, the scene of salvation, redemption, reconciliation, and the way, the door, the gate has been determined and decided. It is in and through the person of Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon said, "Thou canst not tell what showers of mercy, what streams of benediction, what mountains of joy and hills of happiness shall be thine when Jesus comes and reigns in thy soul." Jesus gives joy. S.D. Gordon said, "Joy is distinctly a Christian word and a Christian thing. It is the reverse of happiness. Happiness is the result of what happens of an agreeable sort. Joy has its springs deep down inside, and that spring never runs dry no matter what happens. Only Jesus gives that joy. He had joy singing its music within, even under the shadow of the cross." Elizabeth Elliot, "The world looks for happiness through self-assertion. The Christian knows that joy is found in self-abandonment. If a man will let himself be lost for my sake, Jesus said, he will find his true self. Back to John 15, verse 11, reading from the Message, I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy, and your joy wholly mature. And we read preceding verses, J.B. Phillips' New Testament, I have loved you. Just as the Father has loved me, you must go on living in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and live in his love. I have told you this. I've told you this so that you can share my joy and that your happiness may be complete. So if we've come to live in his love, we must go on living in his love. And if we love him, it's only natural that we would keep his commandments, that we live in his love, because Jesus kept his Father's commandments that he might live in the Father's love. He's told us this for a reason. I'm letting you in on the gigantic secret. He's told us this for a reason, so that we can share his joy and that our happiness may be complete. Spurgeon said, he is great and glorious, whatever we may be. And it is for our joy, our safety, our everlasting happiness that we should become his servants. It is necessary for the right ordering of our lives that our hearts may be in tune to yield the music of joy, that we should be turned by obedience to his will, tuned by obedience to his will, and that we should learn to serve him. There is no doubt that joy and happiness such as this produces rejoicing. A joyful people, a joyous people, truest, purest joy flows from Jesus, glorying in the joy and in bringing joy to the Lord, rejoicing in him. Now, people of God, we could only benefit from more rejoicing. I read these words. I do not think the church rejoices enough. We all grumble enough and groan enough, but very few of us rejoice enough. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice always. The joy of the Lord is strength indeed, even strength of health. I wonder if some are weak and even sickly because there's a lack of rejoicing and joy in the Lord. You say you're off your rocker. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like medicine. The Wycliffe Bible, a joyful soul maketh liking age. A joyful soul maketh a good life. A sorrowful spirit maketh dry bones. Only a ransomed soul is truly joyful. Only a rescued soul is truly joyful. Only a redeemed soul, only a rejoicing in the Lord's soul. And my, it's like medicine. And it is medicine. Curative balm. And the effect is personal. And the effect is interpersonal, because joy is infectious. Influence, influencing, influence. And yet we know that there are despisers of joy of and in the Lord, window watchers of the barren kind. And so they are affected in the wrong way because of their spirit and their attitude and whatever else it might be. But we must go on We must go on rejoicing in the Lord, for maybe one of these days the effect will prove different. A.B. Simpson said, begin to rejoice in the Lord and your bones will flourish like an herb and your cheeks will glow with the bloom of health and freshness. Worry, fear, distrust, care, all are poisonous. Joy is balm and healing. And if you will but rejoice, God will give power. Take care of yourself. Take care of your bones. Take care of your cheeks. Get some joy of the Lord flowing in your life. Get some joy in the Lord happening in your life. Supernatural spiritual remedy. How can we not joy in the Lord? Psalm 42:11, why are you cast down on my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help, literally the salvation of my countenance and my God. Sometimes we Christians need to have a monologue with our souls, lecture our souls, address our souls, even command our souls. Psalm 43:5, why are you cast down on my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Yeah, I've been there. I've been there. And so, soul, let's go. Spirit, soul, body. This is how we live as Christians. You see, the world lives body, soul, spirit. But we are a part of the great reversal. That soul realm, mind, will, and emotions, we need to address it. We need to command it. It sure tries to talk back. The Wycliffe Bible, my soul, why art thou sorry? And why troublest thou me? Hope thou in God. For yet I shall acknowledge to him, that is the health of my cheer. And my God, my soul, why are you feeling so sad? And why troublest thou me? Hope thou in God. For yet shall I praise him. He is my true help and my God. Help of countenance. Health of countenance. Face. Lord, we need a facelift. How about a Holy Ghost facelift? I'm going to share with you the words of David Wilkerson. David boldly declared, for I shall yet praise him, the help, health of my countenance, Psalm 42:11. And he repeats the same statement in Psalm 43:5. In the original Hebrew, the proper rendering of both these verses is, God is the salvation of my face. I believe David is saying something important here. You see, your face is a billboard that advertises what's going on in your heart. All the joy and turmoil that's inside of you is reflected in your countenance. When I speak of countenance, I'm talking about facial expression, body language, tone of voice. For example, when my mind is loaded down with the cares of our church, sermons, finances, relationships, I have a tendency to slouch. I look preoccupied. My brow is furrowed. Some people even tell me I look sad. One day I was walking along 52nd Street near Hannah House, totally absorbed with church business and probably slouched over. I came upon a crack house where a woman sat on the stoop smiling from ear to ear. I could see she was high on crack. She watched me approaching, and as I got near, she spoke up, "Mister, it can't be that bad." I was flabbergasted. I thought, here is this woman high on crack, and here I am, a man of God. She's smiling and looking good, and I'm slouched over as if all hope is gone. What a rebuke it was to me. I thank God for his great salvation, for redeeming our soul, our spirit, even our body. But many of us need to get our faces saved. We need a Holy Ghost facelift because our faces are giving the wrong message to the world. One young woman came into Hannah House with lines of sin etched deeply in her face. Her countenance was extremely hard, yet 2 weeks after she was saved, no one could believe the change. I didn't even recognize her. Why such a change of countenance? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the sternness of his face is changed, Ecclesiastes 8:1. I take wisdom in this verse to mean Jesus Christ. Indeed, the very presence of Christ in your heart has a direct impact on your face. It affects your walk, your talk, the very tone of your voice. Man, that's good. Well, joy and obedience cannot be separated. D.L. Moody said, "The Lord gives his people perpetual joy when they walk in obedience to him." You see, if we walk in disobedience, how could it ever be said that we have joy in the Lord? He and his ways cannot be severed. Remember, if you love me. All the virtues, circumstances, occasions in the Christian life are made radiant with joy. William Barclay, there is no virtue in the Christian life which is not made radiant with joy. There is no circumstance and no occasion which is not illuminated with joy. A joyless life is not a Christian life. For joy is one constant recipe for Christian living. And we all know that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Check the branch. We might need to discover all over again. Jared Packer said we need to discover all over again that worship is natural to the Christian, as it was to the godly Israelites who wrote the Psalms, and that the habit of celebrating the greatness and graciousness of God yields an endless flow of thankfulness, joy, and zeal. There be the yield, and here be the strength. A habit, a good habit, this wholesome habit, this holy habit of celebrating the greatness and graciousness of our God. And it's so true that it yields an endless flow of thankfulness, joy, and zeal. Church, people of God, joy is the only way to draw water from the wells of salvation. Isaiah 12:3, therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Hang on a minute. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Why the broken spirit? This does not gain strength. This does not gain the strength, but a joyous spirit worth touching on again. The Living Bible, a cheerful heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit makes one sick. The New Century Version, a happy heart is like good medicine, but a broken spirit drains your strength. The NIV, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Dry bones need water from the wells of salvation. The broken spirit isn't the answer. The merry heart, the cheerful heart, the happy heart, joy-filled with joy, drawing water. Broken spirit? Stricken, afflicted, wounded, dry bones, drying the bones, drying out the bones. Joy might just be the very prescription we need. The NLT, a broken spirit, saps a person's strength. The Voice Bible, a joy-filled heart is cured of balm, but a broken spirit hurts all the way to the bone. The Wycliffe Bible, a joyful soul maketh liking age. A joyful soul maketh a good life. A sorrowful spirit maketh dry bones. Thank you, Wycliffe. Thank you. A joyful soul maketh liking age. The advancing in years, years so many sorrow over. And the bones just keep getting drier and drier. Let joy of and in the Lord be the tenor of all days, liking age. What truth. I think I hear the call. I think I hear Nehemiah. I think it's time for a gathering. For the gathering, it's time for an appointing there on the wall. Two Thanksgiving choirs, two Thanksgiving companies, and those after them, some with trumpets and those with musical instruments of David, the man of God. Come on, tell us, David, sing to us, sing over us. What's the theme? The tenor of all this, Psalm 16, 5 to 11, O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain, that is, you uphold my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Somebody testify. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest, dwell securely in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You know, it just might very well be this day that the answer we need for the weakness, whatever it is the joy of the Lord and joy in the Lord. And so, you're being let in on the secret of the Christian, the gigantic secret of the Christian. Psalm 28, 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. Psalm 126, 2 to 3, then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. You know, even when things aren't perfect, even when life is tough, when sea waters begin to churn, and when storm waters begin to rage, Christians can be strong because they have joy. Joy of and in the Lord. Psalm 63, 7 to 8, because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. The ESV, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. And your right hand upholds me. A company to the right and a company to the left. The company to the right, Nehemiah 12:31. Then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall and appointed two great companies of them that gave thanks. Wherefore one of them went on the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate. Verse 37, and at the fountain gate, which is over against them, they went up by the stairs of the city of David, at the going up of the wall above the house of David, even unto the water gate eastward. And the company to the left, verses 38 to 39, and the other company of them that gave thanks went over against them, and I after them. And the half tribe of the people upon the wall, from beyond the tower of the furnaces, even into the broad wall, and from above the gate of Ephraim, and above the old gate, and above the fish gate, and the tower of Hananel, and the tower of Maah, even unto the sheep gate. And they stood still in the prison gate. Quite the titles. Just to touch on a few. And so let's make our way among the company and hear spiritual revelation and application today. Dung gate. Ash heap. Refuse heap, metaphorically used of extreme and squalid poverty. 1 Samuel 2:8, He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. Psalm 113, 7 to 8, he raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. The Tower of the Furnaces. Hear the outline of biblical uses. Furnace, oven, fire pot of God's wrath. His furnace of hunger, desire for evil. Above the gate of Ephraim. Ephraim, double ash heap. I shall be doubly fruitful, double land, twin land. Above the fish gate. See all the fish below? The Tower of Hananel. God has favored. The Tower of Man, 100th part. Unto the sheep gate. Sheep, flocks of multitude, a collecting, a gathering. Look! Can you see all the sheep? Can you see the lost? The black sheep. And they stood still in the prison gate. Guard, ward, prison. Look. And now, walk on. Press on. Go into the house of God. Are you coming? I hear you. Past the dung gate, the Tower of Furnaces, above the gate of Ephraim, there are those that shall be doubly fruitful. Above the fish gate, so many fish. See the tower, God has favored. 100 times. See the sheep gate, so many sheep. The prison gate, so many prisoners. I mean, if they could hear something. If they could hear something. Some sound. Some song, some word, some music, some joy, some rejoicing, some joy of the Lord, some joy in the Lord. And might this strength strengthen them. Raise up the poor out of the dust and lift up the beggar from the dunghill. To set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. Rouse those under God's wrath, his furnace, those of diabolical hunger, desirous for evil. There is hope of being doubly fruitful. Look, the fish aren't fish. They are men and women, boys and girls. Oh, God has favored us and given us 100th part. Look, the sheep. They aren't sheep. Men and women, boys and girls. And what are these prisoners? Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal, bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Is there one poor, beggarly, needy here today, and somehow you've come to the Lord's house? Is there a sinner here today, and here you are in the Lord's house? Is there a fish here today, and somehow you've found yourself in the Lord's house? Is there a black sheep here today, and somehow you've found yourself in the Lord's house? Is there a prisoner here today, and somehow you've found yourself in the Lord's house? Perhaps you heard the sound of the Thanksgiving companies, and you leaped out of the water, and you hurried out of the pasture. You've come here because of the sound of joy, and because you heard there is joy, and because you want real joy. Nehemiah 12:40. So stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God. You can join the company today. The Thanksgiving company. And because of Jesus, the Father's delight, you can be made doubly fruitful and receive a hundredth part. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the hope of salvation. There is salvation in no other name. He is good tidings. He is healing for the brokenhearted. He is liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Surrender to Jesus. Lay down your life before Him. He sees it all. He knows it all. He died for it all. He paid the penalty for a messed up world. Whatever it is today, Jesus is the answer. Would you join us today? We'd so love if you would. As we stand here in the house of the Lord. And this day let us offer great sacrifices and rejoice, for God has made us rejoice with great joy. And let the sound of joy be heard, even afar off. Let's have the worship team return today. Strength. The NLT reads, "Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The Voice Bible, "Do not grieve over your past mistakes. Let the Eternal's own joy be your protection." This is very real. This is very real, and many continue to grieve over that which the Lord has dealt with and provided forgiveness for. It's a struggle. It's a struggle, but the Lord's strength can be your protection. Start joying in the Lord. Bring joy to the Lord and receive the joy of the Lord. If the Lord made the day, how should we live it? If the Lord made the day, how should we live it? Well, Psalm 118:24, it says, "This is the day the Lord has made." I mean, if He made today, how are we going to live it? You say, well, Monday doesn't feel like a day God made. Or maybe it's, you know, Wednesday. And you're like, no, the devil made Wednesday. But good news, Friday. Yeah, God made Friday. Saturday, if you don't have to work, for sure, God made Sunday. Sunday's God's day, get in His house. Get in His house. I think He deserves it. I think He's worthy. And can you imagine if every person that calls themselves a Christian, even in this city and in the metro region, if they all got up, were appointed, Thanksgiving choir, I know where I gotta be. And so we're going around the wall, I mean the ring road, and we're coming to church. Because we know we gotta sing. We gotta sing because people need to hear the sound of joy in the Lord and joy of the Lord. Where God would build a church, the devil would build a chapel. Quiet down. Don't be so loud, people. Don't sing so loud. In fact, don't sing. Don't shout. Don't clap your hands. Don't dance. Don't. The music's too loud in the house of the Lord. Maybe we should open the doors and fill the streets with the sound of singing, you know. Crank up the sound. If the Lord made the day, how should we live it? This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. every day. I wake up Monday morning. This is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. I wonder if we started our day off like that, things might just change. Tuesday morning, you wake up. This is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, it's Wednesday. This is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. You wake up Thursday. It's going to be a rough day. It's going to be a tough day. Pressures, whatever it might be. This is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Wake up Friday. This is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. You wake up Saturday. This is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. You wake up Sunday. This is the day the Lord has made. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm not going to be sad and sorrowful and dejected. I'm going to come into the Lord's house because guess what it says? It says enter his gates with what? Oh, enter his gates depressed. Enter his gates like sorrowful that mom and dad drug you out of the home to go to church. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And dear God, I pray that familiarity would never breed contempt. Every day, each day, you know, there's a lot of grumbling and complaining in this old world. There's a lot of non-rejoicing and ungladness. Yeah, not a word, but it should be. A lot of negative, a lot of fallenness and fallen countenance. But listen, God is moving. God's working, and this very day is ordained for us. Give thanks to the Lord. The Wycliffe Bible, this is the day which the Lord made. Make we full out joy and be glad therein. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know, if our faces got saved, I think the world, you know, they might just take notice. Be like, why are you so happy all the time? Like you're facing this. Why are you always smiling? It's the biggest smile on your face, you know. Let me tell you why I'm smiling. The alternatives are base. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. The alternatives are base. And if my God made this day and this day for my living, there is a purpose, there is a reason, he has a plan, and it is all working together for good. Get your joy on and let that joy, 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 joy way down in your heart come to the surface and overflow. The joy, happiness of the worldly, you know what? It can sure be heard. The joy, happiness of the worldly can sure be heard as they joy in their little L lords. The world needs to hear the sound of joy in the Lord. Fashioned day. God fashioned this day. Thank you, Lord. Rejoice, exalt, be glad, to dance, leap for joy, joyful and cheerful countenance, merry voices, joyful brightness. Romans 15, 13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power, through the power of the Holy Ghost. The church, this church, a place of joy and true praises where all bondages are broken. The voice of rejoicing and salvation in the tabernacles of the righteous. Jeremiah 33, 9 says, then it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all nations of the earth who shall hear all the good that I do to them. They shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that I provide for it. Yeah, you're worthy.